He would have addressed the philosophies of Greece and Rome and the powers of corruption, that power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. And Felix would have been drinking this all in. And I'm sure Paul would have introduced the holiness of God as he preached righteousness, and of why God is jealous over his own holiness and over truth and honor, and how God hates with a holy hatred the very breach of his moral law.
And welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. It is a joy to bring you the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I trust that you're going to have a great day today in his word, a day of joy, a day of gladness. And my prayer is that the Lord's blessing will be upon your own heart, your family, your home, your soul, and that you will be walking in the Spirit, not in the lust of the flesh to fulfill the lust of the flesh, but in the Spirit to do the will of God. Our Bible verse for today is Psalm 81, verse 13. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. This is God's lament over his people Israel. He had done so much for Israel. He had created this little nation. He had formed them out of the loins of Abraham, Jacob, and taken them out of Egypt after their 400 years of bondage. He had provided for them in the wilderness, given them his holy law, brought them into the promised land, and promised them great and wonderful things, but they turned away. They didn't listen. They turned to their own ways. They walked in their own counsels. And of course, their apostasy, their departure from God, brought them into misery and God's chastisement. And God says, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. I should have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have been endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Oh, the great things that God will do for his obedient people. But that obedience begins with listening. He says, oh, that my people had hearkened, just to listen to the voice of God. And that's so important in the Christian life. And I pray that through Let the Bible Speak today, wherever you are, that you will just stop and listen to the voice of the Lord in his word. As we open the scriptures and read and speak that word, that it will be a ministry of grace to your own heart. Let's pray for that. O God, our Father, we pray that in all the rush of this day, that we will stop to listen to your voice and hear thee speaking through thy word. We thank thee for the Bible, the word of God. And we pray that as we open that word, that thou wilt speak to us. Give us to hear thy voice, O Lord, each and every day. And let this day be a day of grace and blessing. We pray for every heart listening in. We pray for every home, every family, that you'll meet every need and answer every burden and cry of heart. We ask that this will be a word of grace as this program goes forth. We plead and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Right back to Acts 24. And we want to take a look at Paul standing before Felix tonight. There are three big characters that he stood before. You have Felix, Festus, and Agrippa. And we come to the first of these, and Felix, the Roman governor over Judea. He was the most powerful man in the land under the Roman emperor. A Roman governor was either elected or appointed to govern over a Roman province. And he acted in all things as the personal agent of the Roman emperor. He was responsible for taxation. He saw to the minting of coin. He saw to the levies and the gathering in of tribute money that would either run the province and fund the very extensive programs of building, roads, reconstruction, and transportation, and then, of course, to fund Rome as well. He had to work with local authorities, had to supervise large-scaled building projects, and on top of that, the Roman governor of a province was the chief judge. It was he and he alone who had the right to rule on capital punishment. Every case must appear before him. His word was final as the law of the land, and therefore he ruled with fear. On top of that, he was the commander-in-chief of the Roman armies stationed in that province. And he was in charge of the welfare of the military, of their training, and the whole safety and protection of not only the army itself, but of the province. And so you can see that a governor had endless powers, and he could only be corrected if he was recalled back to Rome. A good governor was a great blessing, but a corrupt governor was a walking horror, and Felix was shot through with corruption. He was a man who had a personal bodyguard dubbed the Dagger Men. They were well known even in his lifetime as his personal assassins. Anyone that didn't agree with him or got in his way in his power struggles, they didn't last long. Whether they were Roman, Jewish, slave, whether they were bond or free, Felix was very swift to remove anyone that got in his way. He was a married man, total of three times. This wife, Drusilla, was actually Drusilla number two. She was his second wife. His first wife was also named Drusilla, but she was a Greek. He divorced her to marry the daughter of Herodias, undoubtedly for popularity and fame and the gain of that position. From every angle of character study, Felix was profligate. He was sensual, unprincipled, and an unjust governor. The works of Josephus and other historians of the time tell us many such stories about him. But if you look at verse 26 in this chapter we've read, you will see right into the heart of the corruption of this man. When he was having Paul appear before him on a fairly regular basis, you will see here in verse 26, he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might lose him. In other words, he was hoping for a bribe. He was a lover of money, and he was open to draw out this whole process that there might be some offer made to him. Now, obviously, from Paul, there was going to be no offer. Maybe some friend of Paul might have had the ability to pay it off. Paul certainly didn't. And Felix was living in the hope that he would do this. If you go on down to the end of the passage, you'll notice that when he ended his tenure there as governor and he was removed, Festus was brought into his position, that while he knew all along that Paul was innocent of all these charges, he left him in prison to please the people. He wanted to leave on a note that he would be remembered by the Jews of being a people lover. Now it was before this man, Felix, the corrupt, murderous, lecherous, wicked man, that Paul stood to preach the gospel. Now he had been brought before him under duress. He had been arrested in Jerusalem. He had been brought by night down to Caesarea. He was now in the jurisdiction of Felix. And Felix wanted to hear his case. There had been a letter brought by Lysias, the chief captain, and he wanted to know something about that. He waited for witnesses to appear. But in the meantime, he and his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess, interested in religious things, wanted to hear from Paul. If you go back to verse 24, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And so here was an open door, an opportunity. Paul did not exactly seek it, but nor was he going to run away from it. And he was now standing before the man who had his life in his hands. And he was to preach concerning the things of Christ. Now this was a godsend, a great opportunity to take the gospel to a very influential man. And it's very interesting to note how Paul handles this situation. Interesting to note how he takes the opportunity, takes his stand, declares the gospel, even to this man, Felix. We might ask, well, will Paul be weak? Will Paul be wimpy? Will he pull his punches? Will he draw back? Or will he just launch out and say anything? Very interesting to note how he conducts this preaching before Felix. So we're going to call this message tonight Paul's fidelity before Felix. The faithfulness of the apostle to declare the gospel at the cost of his own life. Now, I think there's an awful lot to learn from this. I think there are many things that we can grasp that will help us as we would take opportunity to speak to men about the Lord, especially men that may not be exactly friendly to us or to the gospel. How are we to do this? Felix's name, by the way, means happy or lucky. And we could say in one sense, in a worldly sense, this was Felix's lucky day. He was going to hear something he never heard before, and something that could have changed his life forever. And you could also say that this was Paul's great opportunity. But how would he handle it? How would he preach? When you come to verse 25, which really becomes our text tonight, you will find Paul's message to Felix. And it says, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.
Oh, tell me more, so much I need, his power to keep, his hand to lead. Oh, tell me more of him I love, until I see his face above. Oh, tell me more of Christ my Savior, on this glad theme dwell o'er and o'er. His boundless grace, his saving favor, his precious name, Oh, tell me more. Oh, tell me more. So much I need His power to keep, His hand to lead. Oh, tell me more. His face above. Oh, tell me more, and I repeating the happy news shall spread the joy. Come, blessed Lord, thy work completing, till songs of praise our lips employ. Oh, tell me more. So much I need His power to keep, His hand to lead. Tell me more of Him I love, until I see His face above.
Today we're listening to the message on Felix, and we're getting right into the meat of the message here, and I trust you'll stay tuned with us as we get to the issue of Paul's clear exposition of God's way of salvation. I trust you'll take this to heart and that you'll respond to it with all of your being. This is a message will make the difference in all eternity for your soul. May the Lord speak to you. Now, what we learn from this message of Paul to Felix, right here in this text, Acts 24, verse 25, is number one, be responsible. He was invited and asked to speak concerning his faith in Christ. He was now going to speak in a responsible manner. He could sort of rolled over and play dead. He could have played everything down and said, well, this is not the time for me to be preaching. This is not now, this is not my pulpit. But he grasped this opportunity, and he certainly spoke in the full message of the gospel. And Paul realized that he stood before not only men, but he stood before God. And he had a responsibility on his hands, even as this request came to him, speak to us about this faith in Christ. And I can see Paul here. He's preaching in this very fearful situation in this audience just as candidly as if he was preaching to his neighborhood. And he declares the gospel and he declares the issues with a full responsibility to God and men. And here's the lesson that comes to us. This is our responsibility when it comes to preaching the gospel. No holding back. Especially when the invitation comes to you, and that may happen. Someone may come to you and say, look, you're a Christian. You've been living and acting as a Christian. You've been telling us that you're a Christian. Now please tell us of your faith in Christ. Now, whatever that situation is, when that invitation comes, we have to be responsible. We can't run from it. You can't run from that task. And you certainly will give account before God. And as Paul did, he was responsible also to Felix and to Drusilla. Now, if you don't, And if Paul had said, I'm not going to take up this opportunity, I'm going to set it by, how horrible he would have felt. What a failure he would have been, claiming to be an apostle, claiming to be a messenger of God. And yet he refuses to speak in this situation. But because he does, there obviously is the blessing and the help of the Lord to him. So number one, be responsible. Number two, be relevant. And I think that's the point we're going to have to drive home here tonight. Paul spoke on the very issues of Felix and the things that Felix needed to hear. Righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Righteousness. Now, this was a very fair topic to take up. Paul, in this case, would have discoursed on the whole issue of God's moral government over the world. That God rules righteously. He is against the wicked, and he will bless the good and the righteous. He would have said how that evil destroys itself, but righteousness exalteth the nation. He would have addressed the philosophies of Greece and Rome and the powers of corruption, that power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. And Felix would have been drinking this all in. And I'm sure Paul would have introduced the holiness of God as he preached righteousness, and of why God is jealous over his own holiness and over truth and honor, and how God hates with a holy hatred the very breach of his moral law. You can hear Paul go through the gamut of all these issues, and they are ringing in the ears of Felix. What a relevant message to a man who was a murderer, an immoral wretch who was abusing and destroying Judea with his position, and that's the reason why he was removed from office and Festus was brought in, because his governorship was a ruin in the nation. And then temperance. Paul would have pleaded for the need of this discipline, temperance, not just we always think of temperance to do with alcohol and abstaining from it or controlling it. Temperance is the whole discipline of life. Could be every area of life. Now, as a Roman soldier and a Roman governor, Felix would have known something of that discipline. But he wasn't practicing it in his own life. He was letting everything go. In every area of his life, he was a most intemperate man. He was running to excess. And Paul preached on temperance. And as Paul did so, his whole life must have came up before him, and all these things as a mirror, showing Felix the evil of his life. And then judgment. This is the three areas that he preached. Righteousness, temperance, and judgment. That short-term gain will lead to eternal pain. When you break the law of God and sin against God, there's a day of reckoning, there's a day of judgment. And Romans, by their superstitious heathen ways, were very conscious. They always talked about the gods. And the gods are against us, and the need to placate gods. And they had even various rituals whereby they would try to appease the gods. And when various tragedies happened or armies were defeated, their common sense, their common statement would be, the gods are against us. Or if they were giving you a good wish, they would say, the gods be with you. That was the kind of language that they used. And they were conscious that there was a day of repercussion, a day of reaping the consequences. And Paul preached, of course, the judgment of the resurrection day, the judgment day, that men will stand before God and give account of every word and every deed. And as Paul went through these issues that were very relevant to Felix, righteousness, temperance, and judgment, Felix began to tremble and tremble. Now, these subjects, of course, are always relevant. They hit the nail on the head every time, and they search and they bring men before God about their life and their deeds and their words, for which all men will give account. This is not preaching that will just pass as a fad. In every generation, every age, these are very relevant issues. And Paul preached to Felix in a relevant fashion. Of course, these things are relevant to you tonight. Righteousness, God's standard. You're living up to, or the breaking of that standard, and the judgment that comes upon men that fly in the face of God. And of course, men today would do well to tremble about these very things and repent and turn to God. But Paul preached with relevance. And I don't need to turn to faddish things today to preach relevantly to men. These are issues that you are going to face. They're real to you. You're going to have to give answer.
Employ, oh, tell me more. So much I need His power to keep, His hand to lead. Oh, tell me more of Him I love, until I see His face.
This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service, as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.